jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Jana Vallava Giribhara Thari Kopi Jana Vallava Giribhara Thari Yashodhanandana Bhujanarandana Yashodhanandana Bhujanarandana Yamunatira Vanachari Munatira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivagacharya Stodarasat. His divine grace, Esi Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki. Iskan Fonga Shara Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Namachara Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Premsi Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Daita Gadada Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vinda ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopnath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Girgo Vadan ki. Vinda Vandam ki jai, Maya Purdam ki jai, Gangamaya ki jai, Bhakti Deva ki jai, Tulsi Maharan ki jai. Gaur Premanandi, Sam Veda Bhakta Vinda ki jai. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 16, Texts 47 and 48. So we'll do 47 together. Avyakrita Viharaya. Avyakrita Viharaya. Sarva Vyakrita Siddhaye. Sarva Vyakrita Siddhaye. Rishikesha Namastestu. Rishikesha Namastestu. Muniye Mauna Silene. Muniye Mauna Silene. Avyakrita Viharaya. Sarva Vyakrita Siddhaye. Rishikesha Namastestu. Muniye Mauna Silene. Avyakrita Viharaya. Sarva Vyakrita Siddhaye. Rishikesha Namastestu. Muniye Mauna Silene. Rishikesha Namastestu. Muniye Mauna Silene.
Avyakrita Viharaya.
Avyakrita Viharaya.
Sarva Vyakrita Siddhaye.
Sarva Vyakrita Siddhaye.
Rishikesha Namastestu.
Rishikesha Namastestu. Avyakrita Viharaya. Sarva Vyakrita Siddhaye. Rishikesha Namastestu. Muniye Mauna Silene. Avyakrita Viharaya. Sarva Vyakrita Siddhaye. Rishikesha Namastestu. Muniye Mauna Silene. Word for word. Avyakrita Viharaya. To him whose glories are unfathomable. Sarva Vyakrita. The creation and manifestation of all things. Siddhaye. To him who can be understood as existent on the basis of. Rishika Isha. O motivator of the senses. Namaha. Obeisances. te,
te.
Unto you.
Astu,
let there be.
Muneye,
to the silent.
Mauna
shilene,
to
him who walks in silence. Translation. O Lord Rishikesha, Master of the senses, please let us offer obeisances unto you, whose pastimes are inconceivably glorious. Your existence can be inferred from the necessity for a creator and revealer of all cosmic manifestations. But although your devotees can understand you in this way, to the non-devotees, you remain silent, absorbed in self-satisfaction. Text 48. I'll do this. Praravara gati janya sarvad yakshayate namaha avishvaya cha vishvaya tadraste svacha hetave. Translation. Obeisance is unto you who know the destination of all things, superior and inferior, and who are the presiding regulator of all that be. You are distinct from the universal creation, and yet you are the basis upon which the illusion of material creation evolves, and also the witness of this illusion. Indeed, you are the root cause of the entire world. Purport. The words para and avara indicate superior subtle elements and inferior gross ones. The words also indicate superior personalities, devotees of the Lord, and inferior personalities who are unaware of the glories of God. Lord Krishna knows the destiny of all superior and inferior entities, animate and inanimate, and as the supreme absolute truth, he remains in his unique position above everything, as indicated by the word Savardhyakshaya. Om Gyana Chimanasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Sakshmantami Natasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. Mau Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanam. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachayane Nevashisha Shunyavadi Pashtradi Shitani. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Daita Gadada Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivin. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here we see that the Nagapatis, they're speaking eloquently. And it seems with great realization. I mean, we're astounded by the way they've offered these wonderful prayers to the Lord, to Krishna. I mean, if we think that they're just mere snakes, then definitely this is not an accurate assessment. The Nagapatni seems to be like mystical beings. They're like half snake, half human, or they could change form. We know Arjuna had he had married a Ulupi. When he was taking a bath in the Ganges, she grabbed him and took him underwater and asked him to marry her. And he agreed. A son was born called Iravan. He would fight in the Mahabharata war later on. It stated also when Arjuna had killed Bhishma, or helped to, the Vasus were somewhat upset, because Bhishma was one of the Vasus also, and Maraganga also, because she was the mother of Bhishma, and they were actually planning to curse Arjuna. In fact, the curse actually took some effect, because Arjuna was eventually killed by one of his sons, Babru Vahan, see? But Ulupi helped to revive Arjuna back later on. You see, and she also knew of that plot, and somehow she tried to mitigate it. So the Nagas, they're powerful beings. And in the early ages, we know, like, sometimes you refer to Sheshanag, Vasuki, Taksha. See, all of these, they were they had snake's body, but they were, they, well, of course, we cannot include Ananta Shesha here, but the other ones, they had so much mystical power. Ananta Shesha, he's Balaram himself, see, so he's in a different category. So these Nagapatis, they seem to be very knowledgeable about the supreme truth. See, and addressing the Lord as Rishikesha, O Lord Rishikesha, Master of the senses, please let us offer our obeisances unto you. So that's appropriate to addressing the Lord as Master of the senses, or controller of the senses, or owner of the senses. He owns our senses also, because we are not his bodies. Our senses belongs to him. So it's stated, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevaya Bhaktir Uchyati. See? By engaging the senses in the seva of the Lord, in the service of the Lord, our senses become purified. See? And we can able to situate ourselves in our constitutional position. See, so this is interesting. He's the master of the senses. And in the Bhagavad Gita, he spoke a lot about the senses also, the Lord. He gave us ample instructions about the dangers of the senses. You see, one of the first ones was, Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsa. While contemplating the sense objects, a person develops attachment. See? And then he gave some analytical explanation about the senses. He says that Indriyani Parani Ahur, the senses are superior to dull matter. And the mind is superior to the senses, the intelligence is superior to the mind, and the self, or the jiva, superior to all. See? Then he says, Indriyanam hi charitam, that just as a boat is blown off course by a powerful wind, so one of the Roman senses on which the mind dwells can carry away man's intelligence. See? Says, Bhogaisvarya Prakasanam, Taya Parita Chetasam. One who's addicted to sense gratification, then the resolute determination for devotional service does not take place. So, and there's so many more. And that's lots of lesson there. Do men of Riya Tevanir. He says that as a fire is covered by smoke, as the mirror is covered by dust, and as the embryo is covered by the womb, so the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. And this lust is stored in the Indriyana, Manaha, Buddhir, in the senses, in the mind, and in the intelligence. Within the purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada explains that in Dumendriya Avriti Vanir, he says that the embryo covered by the womb is like the inanimate things, or like the plant, like plant life. They're highly covered by lust. And Vanir and mirror covered by dust is like animal life. It's a great degree of lust also, but not as great as plant life. And then as fire covered by smoke is lust co- covering the human beings. It lost, but not to such a high extent. See? Not to such a high extent like the mirror covered by dust and the embryo covered by the womb. So we get an elaborate explanation of the senses and the dangers of sense gratification. See? Stated that one who is able to control the senses is called a Goswami. And one who is unable to do so is a Godas. So we've seen that the Lord has given us so much warning about the dangers of sense gratification. And so the Nagapatis, they addressing the Lord as Rishikesha is very much appropriate. We find that Kalya, his senses were waku. See? I mean, he was in so much of anger and so much proud and puffed up, really. But the Lord, when he danced on him, humbled him surely, and he himself would speak about this later on, as we'll hear. But we've seen that the Nagapatis, they come up with some great realization. They said that the pastimes of the Lord is inconceivable. By his existence, we can understand the need can be inferred from the necessity for a creator and revealer of all cosmic manifestation. By Krishna's mere existence, we could somewhat understand that he is the Supreme Being, and he is the creator, and the master of all. Mataparatam nanyat kinstit asti dananjaya. There is no truth superior to me. Everything is strong upon me like rest upon me like pearl strong on a thread. See? Very interesting. So aham sarvasya prabhu. Aham sarvasya prabhu. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who knows this engage in my service. And then they said here that through his inconceivable potency, right? Through his inconceivable potency, you are distinct from the universal creation, and yet you are the basis upon which the illusion of material creation evolves, and also the witness of this illusion. Indeed, you are the root cause of the entire world. See? Says, Maya tatam idam sarvam. By my unmanifested potency, I control the whole universe. A good example is like the spider. The spider weaves its web. See, it puts out its web. And then during the night, and then at the day, it pulls it in back, it draws it in back. So like the Lord, at the end of Brahma's lifetime, he withdraws the whole material manifestation. And at the beginning of the day, he sent forth it again through his different expansions, and so we know this. So this is pretty high realization for the Nagapatis. And then he said that he knows the future of the inferior and the superior devotees. The inferior and the superior devotee. He says, Vedaham Samatitani. I know the past, present, and the future. Past, present, and future. I am the knower of all beings. Chatra Jam, Chapi Mam Vidi. I am the knower of all beings. So the Lord knows everything. And there's a nice example of this within the Mahabharata, when when Ghatotkacha was killed, Krishna was smiling, and Maharaj Yudhishthira was bewildered. He was kind of dumbfounded. Our son has died. How you were smiling, Keshava? And then Krishna explained what happened. He said that this weapon was meant to vanquish Arjuna. See, it was meant to vanquish. But somehow Karna was placed in a deluded situation whereby he had to use the weapon on Ghatotkacha. See? When Karna had given Indra his kavacha, he asked for the Shakti weapon. See? So he had that weapon thinking, well, this is the weapon that would vanquish Arjuna. But somehow Lord Krishna put him in a deluded situation. Ghatotkacha was created havoc amongst the Kaurava force. And Karna had no choice because Ghatotkacha was actually defeating him also. He had to use that weapon. See? So the Lord was smiling. So we can see that there's distinction here because Ghatotkacha, even though he is one of the Pandava, but he was from the Rakshasa Hidimba. See? So he can be considered in some way an inferior devotee. And Arjuna is a superior devotee. You see? So the Lord knows the future of all, the inferior and the superior devotees. See, so that's a nice example there. And so so we've seen that that the Lord he protects his superior devotees or the devotees that are close to him. See? Declared boldly, Arjuna, my devotee never perishes. And so these prayers by the Nagapatis, they are pretty much appropriate and relevant. And we're somewhat astounded by them, see? So we can conclude definitely that they are just not mere she-snakes or mere snakes, see? They definitely come to the conclusion that they are... they have some higher understanding of the Lord. Today was set forth specially for Yamuna Acharya special reading, but because I'm not so conversant with him and his pastimes, I decided to do part of the Bhagavatam. And so I'll dedicate the other part of the class for him. But if there's any quick comment or question or additions, I'll take it. Okay, so we'll talk about Ramanuja Acharya. Ramanuja Acharya was born 1017 A.D. And he is said to be the pioneer of Vaishnavism. At that time they were Buddhism. Buddhism was very prevalent. Jainism. Islam to some extent, because I was trying to do some research, but it was already late and I didn't really. But I know that Muhammad came like 7 something. That was earlier than Ramanuja Acharya. And Islam was spreading rapidly. It must have reached India by 1017. I thought it reached India in 9 something, so it must have also reached South India to some degree. But anyhow, especially with the Buddhists, with the Jains, with the Shivites, with the Shakti worshippers and so forth, Vaishnavism was at its low, see? So this great personality, Ramanuja Acharya, was born. And in fact, some have it that he's an incarnation of Anantashesha, Lachiman, Balaram, and so forth. So he was born in a Brahmin family in 1017 AD. His name was Ilaya Perumal. Born in Perumbudur in Tamil Nadu. Tamil Nadu is in South India, see? And we know that the Varnashram, the center of Varnashram is focused most in northern to central India, from the Himavat to the Vidya Mountains, from the Ganges to the Indus, or eastern to the western shores, see? That land is called Aryavarta. That was the center of Varnashram Dharma. And as people engage in Varna Sanskar and so forth, they migrated to the outskirts of Bharat Bhumi and the other places, going towards South India and Iran and Iraq and, you know, eastern, all over like that. So the knowledge in the south was also of Vishnu was not so prevalent. And so when Ramanujacharya born, he was a special personality. His father was Keshavacharya and his mother was Kanti Mati or Bhumi Devi. From a young age, his ability to comprehend abstract philosophical points were legendary. He was very sharp, very, very much aware of what's going on. He took initiation from Yadava Prakash, and there were constant clashes eventually with Yadava Prakash and him, because he was emphasizing so much on bhakti. And so it came to the point where Yadava Prakash had actually plotted to kill him. See? Yeah. There's another legend that says that one of his disciples, one of Yadava Prakash's disciples, had wanted to kill him. And somehow one of his cousins, one of Ramanuja's cousins, was made aware of this and informed Ramanuja, and he escaped the plot. So this was going on. So eventually Ramanuja would leave that place. He would leave that place, and then he would eventually come back later on. He stated that he later went to Sri Rangam. Sri Rangam was further south, and he had wanted to see the saintly person Yamanuja Acharya. He had wanted to meet with him, but it stated that he reached a little late, and Yamanuja Acharya had already passed away when he reached. He stated the three of Yamanuja Acharya fingers were closed when he died. And at that point, Ramanuja made three vows, and he stated that those three fingers open. One of the vows was to put to writing the Vishishta Advaita Bhashya by Vyasadeva. Those days, it seems like most of the scriptures were in word and mouth. See? Sound vibration by just hearing. But as Kali was growing, the need to put these scriptures into writing, we know, of course, that Srila Vyasadeva had put the Puranas and so forth, Srimad Bhagavatam was going to write it. But this part, the Vishishta Advaita Bhash, was not in written form at that time. So that was one. The other part was he vowed to perpetuate Parashara's name. Parashara was one of the disciples of Vyasadeva, and he propounded the Vishnu Purana. See? So then I was there, and then the other vow was to perpetuate the name of Satakopa by commenting on Tirivoy Mosi. That's also some other literature. But of course, I don't know much of that really. This Prabhu might be able to explain a little of that here later on. So when he made these three vows, the three fingers of Yamunacharya opened up, and that was significant, because it seems that he was pleased by those vows. It stated that he later traveled extensively to preach about Lord Vishnu and Vaishnavism, and there was lots of debates in the different temples, and as he would defeat the Shivites and Buddhists and Jains and so forth, he would convert them into Vaishnavism. See? So Yamunacharya did great service. He had thousands of disciples, and he did great service to the Bhakti cult. He wrote many books also. It stated he wrote 9 books. And he, like I said, he had thousands of disciples. Often there were great clashes between him, the Shivites, and the Vaishnavas. And of course he would many times defeat all the Shivites and so forth. It stated that he passed away in 1137. He lived for 120 years. That's pretty good. See, 120 years. And I think the Pandavas, Yudhishthira lived for like 120 or 25 years. So for him, 4,000 years later on. Yeah. In fact, the way the ages are named, the age should be named like in Kali era, just like how we say in, now it's 2013 AD, it should be 5013 Kali. You see, that would make it easier to understand. See? AD and BC. But the original way they were calculating it from when the Kali era started, when Lord Krishna left the planet. So these are some of the points I noted about Ramanuja Acharya. Today is his appearance day, and I know Chaturatma, he is very much conversant and erudite in this area. I am somewhat new to this field. I'll stop here, and if Prana Govinda Prabhu would like to say something more on that, yes. Okay. Or any other devotee would like to say something or make a comment or have any questions?
Arjuna? Killed Arjuna?
Babru Vahan.
Yes.
What happened when they were going to do the Ashwamedha sacrifice? They had to send that horse around the world. And the Kshatriyas, they usually will retaliate. So Babru Vahan, He's because knowing that Arjuna is his father, I mean his mother was Chitrangada, he came to Arjuna with offerings and so forth. And Arjuna was not pleased, you know, because Arjuna said that's not befitting a Kshatriya. A Kshatriya should fight, you know, hold the horse and fight. So then eventually Bhabruvahan, he decided to do this. And so they fought, and Arjuna was killed. And it stated with the help of Ulupi, he was brought back to life. See? This is not within the Srimad Bhagavatam, detailed within, but within the Mahabharata, it's in there. And this was also due to the course on the discontent of the Vasus and Maraganjis. Because when Arjuna was fighting Bhishma, Sikandi was in front. When Sikandi was in front, Bhishma was torn away, you see. And Arjuna was continuously shooting arrows at Bhishma, you see. So they thought to some degree, you know, that was not so right. But of course, Lord Krishna was directing everything. He wanted all this to happen. So we cannot criticize or condemn in any way. But sometimes, of course, this is new, you know. I mean, maybe many people have not heard of this. See, but if you're...
My question was, Prabhupada, in first canto, 15th chapter, I believe, he says that Arjuna was not killed.
Mm-hmm.
It is, we have to understand not from the Hindu angle, we have to understand from Prabhupada's Bhagavatam angle. Just like in Mahabharata, we hear that five Pandava went to heaven and went through a big tragedy.
Oh.
We don't accept, I mean, this has an existence, but we don't accept, we have to accept what Prabhupada also says in Bhagavatam, that they went in meditation. Prabhupada wrote like this, I can show you in first canto, that, and literally with the same body they departed from this world.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, definitely. This was only a temporary act at that point. This was only temporary because he was revived. But when the Pandavas left later on, I mean, that was different. But sometimes what we have to understand to, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam does not explain everything in details, really. I mean, of course, this may have happened or may not have. You know, it depends to who's translated in Mahabharata and so. But I mean, I've read this, you know, somewhat. This one was translated by one of our devotees. What's his name? What's that devotee, our devotee that translated Mahabharata? Yeah, Puna. Right, he probably just rewrite it or something.
Krishna Dharma,
yeah. So like that. But, you know, of course, the point I was trying to establish, though, was Ulupi, who was a Nagapatni, you know, she had mystical powers, so much, and these Nagapatnis, now they glorify the Lord with such eloquent prayers, you see, so they're just not ordinary snakes, see, they're much more than that. So, okay, Prabhu, Haribol.
Birth. Srila Prabhupada has explained that doesn't matter about birth. If one becomes surrendered, one can, and even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, he's mentioned that, you know, it doesn't matter what ashram or even a dog eater, if he surrenders to Krishna, he can be considered pure devotee and becomes very dear. So maybe, can you comment on that?
Yeah, certainly, definitely. That's a very good point. But of course, more elevated than a so-called brahmana, you know, that sticks to his rituals but does not surrender to the Lord. And there's so much nice pastimes with that. When Krishna had wanted the dust from the feet, and the brahmana said no, and so forth, and then the gopis sent, you know. So Srila Prabhupada explains nicely there in the purport. So of course, But in this age, it's not so important. But this, you know, this pastime took place in a different age, you see. And Varnashram was prevalent then, and you know, has to be understood in that light too, see. But of course, for now, whoever surrenders to the Lord, you know, yeah, he certainly can become a pure devotee. Any other points or, yes, Maharaji?
If you know what types of bhakti Ramanujacharya introduced or reintroduced, did they have a specific mantra that they chanted, or did they do mostly rituals? Like what angas of bhakti did they follow?
I'm not so certain, but I know at least he was studying the Vishnu Purana, the Bhagavad Gita, and so forth, and based on those scriptures, they might perform the rituals based on those. But it might have been somewhat a little different from what we're doing now, really, because later on, Lord Chaitanya and the other... Yes, Prabhu?
Navadvip Dham Mahato has explained this, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the essence, two essential principles from each sampradaya, and he combined together. So from Ramanujacharya, he has taken Ananya Bhakti and Bhakta Jana Seva R. What is pure bhakti, devoid of karma and jnana? It is established by Ramanujacharya, and Mahaprabhu took this. And importance of serving the devotees more than Bhagavan, and becoming servant of the servant of the servant, is established by Ramanujacharya in his own life, through his disciple, through his own example, unbelievably, all these pastimes. So these two things are most important that we take. But so, to obtain that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave a little more, that he says, he wrote a whole book, Bhakti Prapannam, How to Surrender. Ramanujacharya has established this very
good.
Nice.
Yeah, just before this class, I got a book about Ramanujacharya, but the English was so much in old English and so forth, it was different to comprehend, and to go through that whole book to get his essence was difficult. I didn't do so much research on it, but thank you for that. Any other points? So, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.